The book of Ruth, the author is unknown. Some people have mentioned different authors, but there is nothing definitive about who wrote the book of Ruth, and it was written probably between 1050 BC and maybe a little earlier or later. There's a range there. It is only consists of 85 verses, which is hard to believe. It's a little book. It's the only book in the Old Testament with a Gentile's name as the name of the book. And 23 times the word redeem is used in these 85 verses. But of the 85 verses, it reads like a story because 55 verses are dialogue. They're talking. There's a lot of talking. It's women, but we won't go there. So this is not just an illustration, this story, of the beauty of redemption in the life that Ruth and Naomi had together, but also foreshadows the ultimate redemption we find in Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1, we hear the story of an Israelite family who had lived in Bethlehem, and then there was a terrible famine. And they decided, and perhaps the husband decided, that they would move to Moab during this famine, and they would establish their lives there. So they moved there, and tragedy struck. The father of the family passed away, but the sons and the mother stayed, and the sons married Moabite women. And for 10 years they lived there. And then more tragedy. Both of the sons died. So Naomi is the Israelite woman, and she hears that the famine is over now in Israel. So she decides she's going to return home to Bethlehem. So her two daughters-in-law plus Naomi, that's three widows. And I personally am a widow. So three widows with no children. None of them had children. Ruth and Orpah, her sister-in-law, had not been blessed with children, and Naomi's sons had passed. So in leaving, both of the daughters-in-law want to go with Naomi, but she warns them, please don't come, please don't come, please don't come. And one of them did return to Moab and stayed in Moab. And they could return to, she said, to your families. They had families there. It wasn't just, we can only go with you because we got nothing. They could have gone back. So one did return, but Ruth goes with Naomi. And she says in the key verse, 1:16, where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. So we already learn a little bit about this tender-hearted woman, Ruth, and her relationship with Naomi. And that Ruth, probably through Naomi and her example, knew who God was and wanted him as her God, and perhaps already knew him as her God. So we learn that Ruth had already had belief in God. So they returned to Bethlehem with nothing, with nothing. Ruth, and they were greeted, and Naomi sees her life as God has removed his hand from her, and there's nothing but bitterness. So the beginning of the story, we see death and tragedy in their lives. But they were penniless. So as people did at that time, Ruth said, I'm going to go glean to provide food for herself and Naomi. So gleaning comes from Deuteronomy 24, 19 to 22. Deuteronomy 24, 19 to 22. This was the instruction given to the Israelites. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, for the fatherless, and for the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the aliens, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and I now command you to do this. So Ruth goes out to glean, and she had probably never gleaned before. So she went out to glean, and she goes, coincidentally, to the field of Boaz, who is from the clan of Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband. So providentially, Boaz comes along, and he sees Ruth. And I wonder, she was a foreigner, and he was the son of who? Do we remember? Rahab, who was a foreigner also, right? I wonder if he saw in Ruth his mom or thought, here's a foreigner, not an Israelite. Here's an outsider. How can I be of great help to her at this time? God is in charge, we see, of every detail in this story. So we know what happens in the story next. Boaz learns who Ruth is. He says, who is this? And he tells her to only glean now in his field. From now on, only come to my field and follow along with my maidservants. And he told the men not to touch her. It was dangerous for these women who were gleaning. They were penniless, sometimes no families. They were alone. They were just ready to be taken advantage of, probably. And he told the men, don't touch her. And then he offered her drink when she was thirsty, and they provided food for her, shelter, and rest. And he was being her protector. We see him as her protector and provider. And he also spoke very kindly to her. And when she left, remember, he from all day, guess how much she actually got gleaning all day? It was way more than I thought. Almost 5 gallons, 4.5 gallons, 22, and the word is ephads, E-P-H-A-D. It's a measure of grain. So she had a lot to take home. I don't think she had to come every day. So Ruth returned to Naomi that evening, and she told her the story of what had happened. And Naomi exalted Boaz, said he was a very kind man and a close relative. And she said, he is one of our kinsmen redeemers. One of our kinsmen redeemers. And the word for kinsman redeemer in Hebrew is goel, G-O-E-L. It's a Hebrew word, and it refers to the nearest adult male blood relative who serves as an advocate for any vulnerable or unfortunate clan member in order to correct any disruption to the clan's wholeness, well-being, and especially through the redemption and restoration of property for the person and for the lineage of the clan. So the clan is, it's everyone related. It's a linear descent group. And its wholeness encompasses both the living and honoring the deceased members. Goel is not easily translated. I do have several Jewish friends that I asked about this. I asked them about Hesed and Goel, and it was interesting. They said, this is so important because family is so important to us, that a Goel, is that word is not easily translated into English. It means to redeem, to buy back, to recover, to restore. And that word is used 12 times in the book of Ruth. And I read lists and lists of ways a kinsman redeemer could assist a clan member. And it was outlined in the Old Testament. Many times God talks about this. In Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in Joshua, in Proverbs, in Psalms, in Jeremiah, in Lamentations. This was really important to God to tell the story of the kinsman redeemer. He tells it all throughout the Old Testament. So they did things like redeeming property that was once owned but sold out of economic necessity. They wanted it back. And you know, in the Bible, God says, I own all the land. Do you ever read that in Scripture? I own, it's all God. Sometimes we think we are. We are mere stewards of what God has entrusted us with. He owns it all. Goel would also assist in a lawsuit so that justice, they would be the advocate of the family member. They would use it to, they would be a goel to redeem the wife of a deceased person in order to raise up the name of the deceased upon his own property. And usually, well, always, when they married the widow of someone in the clan and they had a child, that child had the name of the deceased person from the clan, not the husband of today, so that person's name would never be lost. And sometimes it was used, the goel would redeem a clan widow facing old age alone with no one else to care for her. So the goel, though, has a responsibility, but they must be willing. They were not under obligation. They must be willing to perform the redemption. It was not obligated. That person was not obligated to do so. So God's actions as the great kinsman redeemer, we see it in Exodus when they left Egypt. And that's the basis of a goel's actions. Now, God has great hesed for us, loving kindness and concern. And the activity of the goel perpetuates the first redemption from unending servitude to later pharaohs. So the human goel carries out the redemption policy that God himself had done, and then the human is really representing Yahweh in such transactions. So in chapter 3, we continue to read on about the story of Ruth and Naomi. And the story now, when Ruth is back home and she's been in these gleaning in the fields, Naomi instructs Ruth. And Ruth enters what to do with Boaz. And we read that long story. And I would tell you, a great study to do is all the symbolism of the things that Naomi told Ruth to do, to prepare, and what she was going to do with Boaz. It's a fascinating, fascinating study to read about what she did. So Ruth then, we know that she anointed, cleaned herself, went to the threshing floor where Boaz was. And he had been, when they were threshing, it was usually in the later in the day when the wind was such that when they threw the grain up, the chaff would blow away and the grain would fall. So it was a big process. And it might have been his night to be doing it because he had a lot of workers with him, so somebody else could have been doing it other nights, but that was the night he was doing it. And Ruth was instructed to enter the threshing floor and to sleep at the feet of Boaz. And when he awakes, he says, "Who's there?" And he says, "I know that you are a woman of noble character." What a compliment. "I know you are a woman of noble character." And he tells her through this time that he will arrange to be her kinsman redeemer. But there is a little glitch because there's someone above him in the line. He will arrange to become her redeemer. And I was thinking about Ruth, and as a woman, I thought, what are some of the lessons I learned? And I'm going to talk more about Christ being our Redeemer, the ultimate Redeemer, but lessons from the book of Ruth. I thought, you know, here they are. There is hope, even in the most devastating times in our life. I saw that with these two women who were so unbelievably close. Naomi loses her husband, and then her sons die, and she's left with no grandchildren. And she returns to Bethlehem and calls herself Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me, she said. Ruth laid aside her own pain. She had lost her husband, left her home and family, and turned her face to the future with hope as she journeyed with Naomi to Bethlehem, probably a place she had never been to. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So even when we can't see beyond our pain to God's plan, we still have hope. Another lesson I thought, the past is not our final destination when we trust in God Almighty. Ruth was leaving her land and her family, but she had a purpose. She wanted to be with Naomi, and she wanted to follow God. She believed in a future. So even when our confidence is wavering and God's and we think about God, his promises never waver. And then I also thought, number three, doing the right thing also often takes great sacrifice. Doing the right thing often takes great sacrifice. As Ruth chose to go with Naomi, it took sacrifice to leave her homeland, her family, and everything she knew. Number four, I thought sharing openly about our relationship with God brings intimacy to our human relationships. And you know, we see more about Ruth and Naomi's relationship than we really know about their story separately. We see them together, they're intertwined, and they're very committed to each other. And through Naomi, Ruth learned about God, obviously the God of Israel. Sometimes we personally might hold back from sharing our faith, our questions, our concerns, but actually, by sharing the things that we struggle with and are concerned about, it can bring us a great closeness to people we discuss it with. My older sister always had questions, and her pastor at her church said, when he was at church, she lived on Jekyll Island, and his car was in the parking lot, and she would be riding by on her bike, she'd see it and she'd pull in, and he goes, "Here comes Nancy," because she had questions. "Now in the sermon this Sunday you said this and this, and I've just been thinking about it and thinking about it, and I have questions." And she was very, very close to Bert, her pastor, because of that, because they just really shared their thoughts on what God was telling them in the Bible and their faith. So Naomi was open with Ruth about her joy and her fear and her pain and her bitterness. And sharing formed the base of a very deep friendship we see. So those are some of the thoughts about the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, we see Boaz's actions reflect Christ's love for us. So Boaz says, "I will be your redeemer." What did that mean? He had to go and make sure he could be the kinsman redeemer and not the man who was above him in the line to do that. And I thought, he didn't say, call the guy up and say, meet me at the bar at midnight in the back room. He went out in public in an open spot to everyone, and he made sure there were witnesses to what he was doing. I thought that spoke a lot about Boaz's character. Just as Boaz provided for Ruth's earthly needs, and he purchased this land, and he sealed it by the passing of the sandals. I didn't quite understand that, but it was to show that he was not only buying the land, but he was also choosing to marry Ruth. So Christ provides for us. He was providing for Ruth for her earthly needs, correct? But Christ provides for our spiritual barrenness. We are all desolate as a result of our own sinful nature. Her life was marked by tragedy and death, but God, she had hope. He offers us grace and love and kindness in his chesed love for us. Christ is our ultimate redeemer. Like Boaz, he took the role of redeeming those who are lost. He came to earth as a human to redeem us. And the price of our redemption was very steep, requiring the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, a price he was willing to pay because of his great love for us. And he rescues us from the penalty of our sin, and he gives us eternal life. So we see in Boaz a type of Christ. He was a goel, which in Hebrew refers to the kinsman who has the right to redeem. Just as Christ came to earth in flesh to become a redeemer of mankind, God asks us to be people of good character, even when no one is watching. Character has often been described as who you really are when no one is watching. And I've coached tennis for many years, over 20 years, and all the parents will say, oh yeah, sports builds character. And I said, you know, my experience is sports reveals the character that's already there. And my job is to correct that, is to say, that's not what we're doing. That's not who we are. That's, you know, and I'll say to the kids, I really pray for you. They're like, do you pray we win? No, I don't pray we win. Pray you do your best, but I pray that you will be ladies and gentlemen of honor, that you will play with integrity, and that you will do the best with the skills that God has given you. You don't pray we'll win? No, I don't pray that, kids. That willingness that Christ had. So, and Ruth, I thought about Ruth too. She had quite a wonderful character. I thought of Proverbs 31:20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I think that's Ruth. Wouldn't you want Ruth to be your friend, to be your advocate, to be your next door neighbor, probably? Ruth had no idea, probably, that millions of people for thousands of years would read her story. Can you imagine knowing that about that's the life she lived? And here we are today, thousands of years later, still talking about Ruth. She lived a simple life, but she showed incredible character. And even Boaz referenced it in Ruth 2:11 and in 3:10 and 11, that she was a woman of great character. So God uses unlikely people for his purposes. Ruth was a poor widow who grew up in a country that was an enemy of Israel, and she was willing to go with Naomi and work as a gleaner in the field every day so that they could survive. And then God chose to include her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it shows us that no matter what our background or circumstances, faith can make a huge difference in our life. So what parallels can we find in the story between Boaz and Christ? Well, first of all, there is only one redeemer. Jesus is the only one who is qualified to redeem us. He is the only one who can save us. And also, his redemption in our lives is an act of grace. Boaz was not required to redeem Ruth. He chose to redeem Ruth. And Jesus' sacrifice for us was a willing choice that he made. He gave his life for us. And I thought, too, redemption was public. Boaz went to the square. He was in full sight of everyone to redeem her. Christ publicly died for us on the cross. Redemption is an act of love. Boaz, I think he really loved Ruth. But he cared for her also, and he wanted the best for her. Being a Moabite, she was not someone that most men would have chosen, but Boaz did. And Jesus, too, loved us, even while we were yet sinners. And redemption comes with a price. The Redeemer must give something up. Money was required to purchase the field, so Boaz had to use his funds to purchase the field. But it also required giving up one's rights. The relative who was not willing to redeem Ruth because he was not willing to give up other rights that he had, he wanted to pass his own land down to his own children, who had his own name. But Boaz was willing to pay the price. Jesus is willing to pay a far greater price for us, his own blood. And just think, redemption is priceless. So we know there's one Redeemer. Redemption is an act of grace. Redemption is public. It's an act of love. It comes with a price. And it is priceless, though. Redemption can't be paid for. Ruth had no money to offer. She was a peasant. She could never, ever pay Boaz back in any way. We, too, can never pay Christ back for his redemption. It's completely unearned and undeserved is what we have in Christ. So in the book of Ruth, we see his actions reflects Christ's love for us. He provided for our earthly. Christ provides for our spiritual barrenness. He came to earth to redeem us, a price he was willing to pay because of his great love for us. And he rescued us from the penalty of our sin, and he gives us eternal life. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." So Jesus invites us to become part of God's family. Ruth became part of a bigger family, the clan. We are no longer outsiders. We are heirs of the promise, co-heirs with Christ. And when we studied Romans last year, Romans 8:17 says, "Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ." And the truth is, we are all like Ruth. We are in need of a Redeemer. But how can we be redeemed? How can we be redeemed? And I always talk about the ABCs of salvation. A is admit that you're a sinner, which is a very difficult thing to do in our society, I think, at times, to admit that you're a sinner, that what you have done has gone against the laws of God. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He came to save mankind, but individually we must receive this gift he's given us of salvation. And C is to confess our sins and to commit our life to Jesus Christ. I know I did that in my life. I'd been churched, and I remember hearing the gospel really for the first time that I had to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ. And that was, I was just a mere child 50 years ago. 50 years ago, God brought a light into my life, and I learned about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that is salvation. That is what God offers us, to A, admit you're a sinner, B, believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, confess those sins, and commit your life to Jesus Christ. That is how we are redeemed. So Naomi's life was marked by death and tragedy, but God restored her. And in the end, her life was joy and the gift of a grandson, right? You know, after all those years and her sons were gone, she had Ruth, and now God had given her a grandson. And they named him Obed, correct? Obed? And as at the very end of the book, we read about the lineage of King David. And there, with among all those names that we see, foreigners, women of not good repute necessarily, people who have struggled, there is the name that Boaz's son and Ruth is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we leave today, I hope we carry the message of redemption in our hearts and that we will be bold to share it with those around us. And I know the holidays are coming up, and sometimes that's an easier time to talk about who Christ is in our life, why we are thankful, who we are thankful to, whose birth we celebrate, and why it matters that God has put that into our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible gift of redemption found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to embrace our identity as your redeemed children. Help us to remember that word, we are redeemed, and inspire us to extend that love to others. And may our lives reflect the character and kindness of Ruth and Boaz. And mostly, may we be used by you to lead others to Christ as the true Redeemer. It's in his name we pray. Amen.